And joining me at the party table, lawyer with wide experience in government, private practice in Canada and abroad, Mark Warner. Good morning.
Morning, Jerry.
Let's start with this. A couple of days ago, you very confidently said John Tory's just running the game. He's going to stay on as mayor. Turned out that's not the case.
Yeah, I think he listened to me and others.
Oh, you just want to take credit, even though...
Sorry?
I said you want to take credit even though you got it wrong.
Yeah, you know, I'm a lawyer. That's what we do.
All right. I get that. Is it safe to say maybe you were surprised when you heard that, no, he's making it final. He's gone as of 5 o'clock tomorrow afternoon.
Well, you know, it's kind of like, what's that thing with the dead parrot, you know, where they keep the Monty Python and all that?
Yeah.
You know, he put the papers in on Friday, and then there's I guess until I see him completely out the door, you know, and I also see that he hasn't signed up to run again in the by-election. I'm not ready to put it to bed completely just yet, to be honest with you, because I think he likes the job. I think there are a lot of people in the city who would like him to run again. They're powerful. And so we'll see. I want to watch. I didn't think it was sincere the first time, and this seems a little more sincere this time. And we'll watch it. I just, you know, John Tory is the kind of guy who plays for time. Remember, he's the guy who introduced the pilot project approach to passing unpalatable things and playing for time. It's kind of his MO. So, you know, that's why I don't want to say that the parrot is completely dead just yet. But it looks like it's dead.
Well, he is a dead mayor. He is deceased. He is no more.
What if he ran in a by-election?
That'd be fascinating. Okay, let's talk about the story that I used to open the show this morning with your international experience, Mark. It was a fascinating report from the CBC, and I looked up some other sources once I read that article on the trouble we're in. Within a decade, we could be short about 44,000 doctors. We're currently short 17,000 doctors. There are tens of thousands of Canadians who couldn't get into medical school here. They went to countries like the United States or Australia or New Zealand or someplace like that, and they became doctors. They are more than qualified, and they can't come home and get a job as a doctor. This is ridiculous.
Well, it's a complex issue. I mean, I share the sentiment about, you know, regulatory barriers, but I do see both sides of this issue, though, Jerry. I do see there's the first problem is beginning with Bob Rae in Ontario specifically. We actually limited enrollment to medical schools, which is particularly stupid, but we did that. We're not the only province to have done that. So that's one of the problems. If the issue is one of supply, then the solution might be to start increasing the numbers of doctors that we train in Canada. Secondly, you know, there is a concern about, you know, where these people get their degrees. You cite, as most people would, people who've gone to the United States or Australia. But the challenge that you have is there are a lot of other med schools that aren't in Australia.
Yeah, but that's not what we're talking about.
In the United States.
With all due respect, if we were talking about people who went to some backward country you and I have never heard of, then we might say, I think that maybe there needs to be a stress test there. But we're talking about people who hold responsible positions in places like Australia and the United States. Those doctors are qualified.
Yeah. The question is, how do you form that role? And I'll tell you, I've been in part of these discussions when we did the Canada-EU trade negotiations, and I was part of working for the Ontario government at that time when we were trying to create the rules about in terms of when professional licensing requirements in Ontario or in Canada will be recognized in other countries. And I can tell you the Europeans said already have concern with some of the degrees because of the high levels of immigration that we have about where some of the people who have the degrees are. So you'd have to are coming from, and they said, we're not going to grant you the kind of equal recognition of your licensing because, frankly, we don't buy some of these degrees that your people have over there. And it was a very sensitive discussion given the minister that I had at the time, you know, where he came from. So that the question is, how could you fashion the rule that would basically say, okay, if you got your degree, your medical degree in Australia or the United States, fine. But if you got it from some other place that is a little dodgier that we don't recognize, or schools we don't understand.
Right.
And then what would that conversation be like in Canada?
Well, it would be like we understand that Australia, we're going to authorize the following countries and the other countries we won't. I mean,
what it'll be like is charter arguments and human rights complaints and endless discussions. I can see why people wouldn't want to go near this. So that's really the question is how do you get at that? And then the second part is.
No, wait a minute. Let's address the first part here. What you can see more than anything is why people hate lawyers.
Well, maybe. But I'd say they hate us until the other problem that you have is when you actually look at the disciplinary complaints or malpractice complaints from doctors that are foreign trained, and that sometimes you see that. And just anecdotally, I see it when I look at the some of the charges that come up in other provinces and other places. And you know how much of that is discrimination or racism, I don't know, but you do see it. And so that's because there are provinces that loosen the standards to let people in.
Let's pick an example the CBC provided, which I used on the air this morning. And that example is a man named Steve Brennan, born in Alberta, had to go to Australia to get his qualifications. His current position, Mark, is he's a pediatric pulmonologist, and he's the associate director of the Rare Lung Disease Center at Washington University in St. Louis, Missouri. He's not qualified.
I would like to have him in. The question, I guess, is how do you draw the rule to allow him in without allowing the people who didn't have the standards to get into medical school in Canada, didn't do particularly well where they are, and now they come back with their foreign qualification and say, hi, look at me, look at me.
You're giving an excellent example of the bureaucratic obtuseness that we deal with, which is that you're trying to find a one-size-fits-all answer, and that doesn't exist. If we don't have people running the medical system in this country, Mark, who can't read a resume and tell the difference between one person and another, then we're really in trouble.
So my solution to the problem is let's actually increase the numbers of people who we qualify in Canada so they don't have to go elsewhere. We see that in law schools and dental schools. A friend of mine's daughter just graduated, going to a veterinary school. She's leaving Canada to do veterinary stuff. So part of this is we limit supply, we limit competition, and that's a Canadian problem across the board. So that's the first place to solve it. Second problem is if there are regulatory tests to be taken, let's figure those out and streamline them, do it quicker, and get more of these people approved. But I'm just telling you that there is a flowback to it. If there are Canadian doctors who want to practice in places like Germany, if the more you let people in from other jurisdictions, other countries are going to say to Canadian doctors, we don't want you coming here. We're not going to recognize that degree. Just I'm telling you, I've been part of those discussions, and that's a real concern.
Well, we're short of 17,000 doctors. It's not getting better. It's getting worse. And you've just demonstrated the kind of bureaucratic baffle gab that goes on all day long that stops us from being the great country we could be. Meanwhile, a new flashpoint is emerging in the Canada-U.S. relationship that could lead to what one congressman in the United States is calling a tit-for-tat race to the bottom. Representative Brian Higgins, he's a Democrat in Buffalo, New York, said he's prepared to advocate for a new tax on Canadians who own property in the United States unless Americans are offered more exemptions from Ottawa's underused housing tax, which targets foreign property owners in Canada. Is this going to be a big fight, a big problem for Canadians?
Well, at a political level, it will. I mean, the trade world is a tit-for-tat world. If Canada implements, or a Canadian province or whatever, implements a tax on an American or a foreigner, then there's a high likelihood that someone else will do the same. Now, there's some question about whether some of the states, the United States, and I don't know whether Florida is one of them, may actually do this to some extent or not. I know that when this has come up in the past, when British Columbia first tried to do this about 6 years ago, that was one of the responses that I remember hearing at the time. But I think it's almost certain, given the way the Canadians make so much noise about Buy American in the United States, that Americans are never shy of looking for examples to say turnarounds, fair play. So I think you can expect at a political level that you would see that. Now, especially when you have the Congress people who are supposedly the friends of Canada, the border state guys like this guy Higgins, who's from Buffalo, I think, when they're the ones advocating it, you could just imagine what the ones who are on the southern border are saying, or the ones who are in the American heartland.
Well, so it depends. I think maybe the heartland, you've got a point, but I think if it's a place like Florida or if it's Arizona, they want Canadians to buy property.
They do. They do. As I say, I would want to look at it and remind myself of whether Florida has some form of a tax like that on foreigners as well. But there are some states that do. But I think there would be a response. There's no question that any time you discriminate in a trade way, that you can expect that somebody will slap back at you. And the United States is a much bigger player. That's why people like me always say to Canadians, don't start these fights, because don't start a fight you can't finish. And when you're one-tenth the size of the other guy, you can't finish these trade fights.
Yeah. All right, Mark Warner, always good to talk to you. Thanks for doing this.
No problem. Thanks.